Authorities in Britain said today they would not negotiate with terrorists in Iraq to save the life of a civilian contractor taken hostage. A group loyal to militant leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi has already decapitated two American captives. It says it will kill Kenneth Bigley unless all female prisoners are freed from Iraqi jails. A video posted on an Islamist website showed Bigley pleading for British Prime Minister Tony Blair to help spare his life. But Britain's government says negotiating with terrorists would only encourage more hostage-taking. The United States has the same policy. Brian Jenkins, a senior advisor to the RAND Corporation, told me how that policy was formed.
The dramatic point for us was the 1973 hostage-taking of two American and one Belgian diplomat in Khartoum by terrorists who demanded, among other things, the release of Sirhan Sirhan, the convicted assassin of Robert Kennedy.
Now, remind us what happened there.
In that particular case, in response to a specific question during a press conference, President Nixon said that the United States simply was not going to yield to that kind of political demand. There was no way that we were going to release the convicted assassin of a presidential candidate. But, tragically, the terrorists went ahead and killed the two American and the Belgian diplomat. And while I don't think we saw it as a precedent-setting case, the fact that the president made these public remarks and the two diplomats were subsequently killed, that, in a sense, made it our official policy, which by the event was sealed in blood. Even within U.S. policy, people have often tried to be very creative to find ways of resolving the situation, of bringing about the safe release of the hostages, without directly violating the policy. And we have some examples of those.
Can you give me one? You're talking about sort of back-channel negotiations, talking to people who are talking to people who know people?
There's two things. Part of it is back-channel negotiations, and that goes on. And I suppose the most striking example of that were the efforts in the 1980s to bring about the release of American citizens who were held hostage in Lebanon. That led to opening up a very strange dialogue between the United States and the government of Iran, and a deal in which we would provide weapons to the government of Iran in return for their bringing about the release of the hostages held in Lebanon. That was seen as a clear violation of U.S. policy.
Now, here you have the situation where the United States says adamantly it will not negotiate with the terrorists in Iraq. You have Britain saying the same thing. The Iraqi government mostly is saying it will not negotiate. But do you think there is anything going on from any three of those points?
Well, to say you won't make concessions is not necessarily to say you won't negotiate. And to say you won't negotiate is not necessarily to say you won't communicate. So we have to be careful with that. Often, while governments publicly hold to these very tough positions without violating their policies, certainly they do everything in their effort to bring about the release of those hostages. That may include going indirectly through governments that are seen to have some influence over the hostage takers, or perhaps to local religious leaders or political leaders who are seen to have some influence, or even to private parties that may have some connections. So there is often an effort to open up a channel of communications, which itself does not violate policy.
Brian Jenkins, senior advisor to the RAND Corporation, talking with us from Washington, D.C. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.